Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Practical Parsha Podcast with Rabbi Shlomo Kohn. Thank God we're up to our fifth episode. I hope you all are enjoying these practical, short Parsha podcasts where we take lessons from the weekly Parsha and find ways that we could apply it to our lives. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to me at Rabbi Shlomo Kohn with a K at gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Balak, the Torah gives us the story of Balak and Bilam. Now, Balak was the king of Moab, and he was also known as a famous magician and warrior. And it seems that after the Jewish people had defeated Amalek and defeated the kings of Sihon and Og, the surrounding nations got very nervous. They thought that the Jewish people would attack them next. Now, obviously, the Jewish people only battled Amalek and the kings, the nations of Sihon and Og, only out of self-defense. But Moab and Midian, who were the surrounding nations, didn't see it that way. You know, some things never change. And Balak, who is appointed to be the king of Moab, gets together with the Midianites. And normally it's brought down, actually, that the Moabim, the Moabites, and the Midianim, they hated each other. They were both enemies. But when it came to fighting against the Jewish nation, against the nation of Israel, they became allies. And that's the expression, your enemy's enemy is your friend. Now, they became very nervous as these nations of Sihon and Og had major giants that protected, that were part of their nation. And it seems like Midian and Moab, they relied on these kings, these mighty kings, to protect them. And once they fell, they thought they would be next. So therefore, they joined forces together to try and destroy the Jews. And they don't necessarily, when they say they wanted to destroy the Jews, they weren't going to do battle in the classic sense of going, you know, into a regular straightforward war against the Jewish people. They were too scared to do that. So they instead agreed to hire Bilam. Bilam is like an internationally known dream interpreter, and he was a prophet and magician who the Midrash brings down was hired by the different kings and nations of the world to throw curses upon their enemies. And he was known to be very effective at what he would do. So the king Balak sends emissaries to Bilam, the wicked Bilam, who is a prophet, as I mentioned before, to come to join the Midianim and the Moavim in cursing the Jewish people. And if you look at the verses in the Torah, initially it seems, if you just read the verses and you wouldn't know any background of Bilam, you would think he seems to be a righteous person. He says, I will only do what Hashem tells me to do. I will only do what God tells me to do. I can only say what God allows me to say. But in actuality, Bilam, it's brought down the Talmud, is one of the people that has no portion in the world to come. He was extremely perverse, wicked, and evil. The commentaries explain different reasons as to why Bilam was allowed to be a prophet, right? When we think of a prophet, we think of a righteous individual. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, was the greatest prophet of all time. And we think of all our great Jewish leaders who got this very exalted level of prophecy. And the question is asked, is why was it that this evil, perverse, and disgusting person, Bilam, had the ability to have prophecy? And the Torah details how Hashem spoke directly to Bilam. So Rashi explains that the reason why Bilam was granted a degree of prophecy was that in order that the nations of the world shouldn't say that if we would have had a prophet, you know, the Jewish people, the Jewish people had the prophet Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why they did the right thing. But us, we never had a prophet. So therefore, Hashem gave the nations of the world Bilam a degree. They gave him, they gave the nations Bilam, who had prophecy. Hashem gave him a level of prophecy in order that they cannot make this claim, because Hashem, God, gave the nations of the world a prophet, and look what he did with it. He became a perverse individual. He abused his I shouldn't say power, but or his ability to prophesize the word of Hashem. He used it to try to destroy other people, to curse, to destroy, to bring bad and misfortune upon others. And there's actually a very important lesson that you could take out from this. Because many times we all have different abilities, different skills. And we look at others who have different abilities and different skills and different strengths. And sometimes we look at another and we say, if I only would have that, whatever that may be, you fill in the blank. If only I would have that strength, that beauty, that amount of finances, whatever it would be. And we say to ourselves, if only I would have that, things would be different. And many times people say to themselves when they're in a hard situation, or if I would be, if I would be married, things would be different. If I would be kids, things would be different. If I had X, Y, and Z, everything would be different. Every person, everybody has a different things which they struggle with that they could fill into the blanks. And we sometimes tend to put all our, our challenges and our problems on different things that we don't have. And in reality, if we would have these things, nothing would change, meaning we would still have our challenges. We would still have the things we would have to struggle with. Things don't magically go away once a person has money, meaning maybe some things can be solved. But my point is that if things don't magically go away when someone has strength, and meaning whatever we're looking at someone else for, the certain things that we desire, the certain traits that we want, it doesn't necessarily solve all our problems. And the lesson for us is that it's incumbent upon us to do the hard work, to put the effort in, and to work on ourselves. Because whatever we're lacking, whatever things we need to work on, that is the job that Hashem gave for us to do. He's given us a unique mission and the tools to fulfill that mission. And if we have something we struggle with, it means that it's that God sent it just for us to help us perfect ourselves. And we have the ability within ourselves to overcome and to become stronger from that challenge. And no matter if we look outwards to what we're lacking, it's not going to help us reach our goal. But if we look inwards to what we can accomplish, what we can do, so then it doesn't make a difference what we're missing or not missing. We're going to be able to overcome our difficulties and our challenges and be the best we can be. And this is something we see from Bilam, and in contrast to Moshe Rabbeinu, because the reason why Hashem, God, gave the nations of the world Bilam was because that the nations of the world shouldn't say that the Jews have prophets, we do not have prophets, right? And therefore they got Bilam, and look what he did with his prophecy. He became immoral. He didn't do anything with it. He didn't become great with it. It takes away the claim of the nations that we could have been something with a prophet, because they had the prophet, and look what happened. Nothing came of it. And I think the message for us on a personal level is that when we're missing something, quote unquote, we shouldn't look outward, rather look inward and take the different challenges we have and try to overcome it to be the best we can be. That's just one thought for this week's parsha. The story is very interesting, because at first, when King Balak sends messengers to this wicked sorcerer and prophet Bilam, he refuses. Bilam refuses to go. God comes to Bilam in a prophecy and he says, do not go with him. And he says, and so Bilam goes back to the messengers of Balak and he says, I can't go. God has told me not to come. And they stay another night, and God comes again to Bilam in a prophecy, and he asks to go with the king Balak, and God lets him go. God lets him go with the messengers of Balak, but he says, whatever you should only speak what I say you should speak. And therefore he has permission to go. Now he doesn't have permission to go curse the Jewish people. That's what Balak wanted. But God gives permission to Bilam to go with the messengers of Balak to go greet him, to go to him. And the commentary asks, is why did God give permission to Bilam, the evil curse thrower, who's going to try to curse the Jewish people, to go with the messengers of Balak to go and try to destroy the Jews? What's going on over here? Right? And it makes even more, you know, what makes the question even bigger is that at the end of the story is that we're going to go through it a little bit, is that Bilam goes and he tries to curse the Jewish people. And when a curse tries to come out, he is, blessings come out instead. And that's one of the miracles that happened, that God does not allow him to curse the Jews, but rather when he wants to try to curse the Jewish people, only blessings come out. So the question becomes even stronger. Why did God allow him to go in the first place? In order that he should make this miracle, that he should say blessings on the Jews? Just don't let him go. And there's different answers that are given. And I want to focus on one in particular, which gives us an interesting and very deep insight. There's an expression, "Biderech she'adam roitze leilech, kach moilich enoisoi," that the way a person wants to go, that is the way he will be taken. That means that Bilam, deep down, you know, as much as the verses initially seem to portray Bilam as this righteous individual, right? We know already his background. He was not a good person. He was an evil individual. So as much as he's just trying to feign a righteous person, deep down, he hated the Jews. He wanted to curse the Jews. And we see very clearly in the verses that as soon as God gives permission to Bilam to curse the Jews, I'm sorry. As soon as God gives permission to Bilam to go with the messengers of Balak, not to curse, just to go with them, he said, we see in the verses that he himself, the next morning, saddles up his donkey and gets everything ready to go. You know, Bilam was a very esteemed person. He had servants. He had individuals who could do it for him. The fact that the Torah says that he did it himself shows the enthusiasm he had in going on his mission to try to destroy the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. So deep down, what he wanted to do was go, was to throw a curse upon the Jewish people, was to destroy them. And that's what his heart really desired. What he really wanted was to figure out a way. He knew there was a God, but he was trying to outsmart Hashem, wrongfully thinking that he could do that. And Hashem saw what his true desire was, that he wanted to try to destroy the Jews. He wasn't going to let him do that. He was going to, obviously the Jewish people, he wasn't going to let a curse come out of his mouth, but he was going to let him go on his evil way, which was going to end up with him giving a blessing to the Jewish people. Because there's a very important thought that Bederach Shalom writes a Leila Kach Milichinus, that if we want to try to do something bad, person wants to try to do something bad, God, Bederach Shalom writes a Leila Kach Milichinus, that when we want to go a certain direction, whatever that may be, for some it's to do bad things, God is not going to prevent you from doing something bad to yourself. And on the flip side, because that's a person has free choice and that's what they truly want to do. And on the flip side, that's true as well, that if a person wants to do something good, he wants to accomplish something, maybe it seems a little bit out of his reach or her reach. If you truly want to get there and you truly want the desire to do what Hashem wants, to do what's correct, Hashem is going to help you get to that place. And it's an important thing for us to keep in mind when we have a endeavor that we want to try to accomplish, a goal we want to try to reach. We shouldn't let things hold us back. We should try to go for the stars, to try to accomplish our dreams, to accomplish our goals. Because even though something might not seem in our realm of possibility, if we try to do our best, if we really, really want deep down, and we make an effort to get to that goal, Hashem will help us get success. And really, it's very interesting. I feel this ties into the idea a little more, because as the story of Bilam progresses, he goes with the messengers of Balak, and there's the donkey that he goes on, starts going, and Hashem sends the angel with a sword to block the path of this donkey. And the donkey, seeing this angel, goes to the side and veers off the road. And the Torah describes to us how Bilam hits the donkey three times. After he hits the donkey three times, the donkey miraculously begins to talk. Now, the commentaries explain that this mouth of the donkey was created during the 6 days of creation. And it was a miracle. And the donkey asks, why did you hit me? And he criticizes him. And the message which is brought down, that the reason why Hashem caused the donkey to talk was to give Bilam a message that just like Hashem makes a man speak, so too he can make an animal speak. And just like he gives the gift of speech, he can take it away as well. And that's what would happen to Bilam. He was trying to give him a message that you're trying to go and curse the Jewish people. When you're going to try to do that, blessings are going to come out instead. And just like I have the power to give speech to a human being, so too I have the ability to take away and put something else there instead, to give an animal the power of speech as well. And really what this brings me back to our original point is because when Bilam was going on the way to go curse the Jewish people, right? We said he wanted to do something deep down. He wanted to do bad to the Jewish people. And God wasn't going to protect him from doing bad to himself. He let him go. And there were miraculous things that were happening to him. God had spoken to him. Funny things were happening. A donkey started talking. He saw an angel with a sword. But none of these miraculous events deterred him from his evil doings. You would think that after hearing the word of Hashem, after hearing a donkey speak, after seeing an angel in front of you telling you to stop, you would stop. So the answer is, "Bederech she'adam roitzeh leilech kach melech nisay." That the way a person wants to go, that's the way he'll be led. And I want to take this a step further. Sometimes, you know, people say, "Oh, if I knew for sure there was a God in the world, if God spoke to me, then I would believe in God. If I saw God, then I believe in God. You know, if I see a miracle, then I'll believe." So the point is that many times, and this lesson is not just about belief in God, it's about what we want to try to accomplish as well. Sometimes when we do things, we have these blinders on. We can't see anything else besides what we're trying to accomplish. And sometimes it could be a good thing, and many times it could be a bad thing. For Bilam, he just wanted to destroy the Jewish people. That's all he was thinking about. Destroy the Jews, curse them, do bad to them. And he had all these miraculous things going on around him. God speaking to him, prophesizing to him, right? A donkey talking. This is before Mr. Ed, an angel with a sword. And different funny things are happening, miracles. And he still keeps going to try to curse the Jews. And the lesson is that we have our blinders on, that we have our, you know, sometimes a miracle could happen right in front of our faces and it won't sway us. It won't change. It won't help us see the whole picture of things. So the lesson for us is that it's very important to be cognizant of what goes on around us. That just, you know, obviously we're not seeing open miracles today. There are different miracles do happen, but it's not like from the times of the Torah. It's more we have to look. We have to use our eyes to see them. Meaning everything, nature is a miracle. Everything is a miracle. But my point is, when things happen around us and in the world, we have to keep our eyes open because it's a message. Everything is a message for us. I'm not saying we have the answers for every single situation, but step one is keeping our eyes open and having a realization that things are going on. When things happen to us personally, we miss that plane, we stub our toe, our car breaks down. I'm not saying we have the reasons why, but it just be cognizant, you know, think about it. Think that we should just think. I'm not saying doesn't mean you're a person, you know, you're a bad person if you stub your toe. Doesn't mean you did something wrong if your car broke down. But we should just keep an eye on the big picture and, you know, don't let us be too blinded with things. And taking it a step maybe a little bit more broad is that sometimes people, they say, if, like I mentioned before, if they would see God, they would believe in God, right? Or if they would have proof. And the answer to that is that sometimes when people say such a statement like that, is that you could show people a situation like this, like Bilam. He saw how much more clear could he have gotten that there's a God in the world, and he didn't want him to go against the Jews, and he still didn't listen. So the point is that we could have the most clearest proof in the world, and it won't sway someone's opinion. That's not what's going to sway somebody, because you could have the most open miracles, and it's not going to change someone's opinion necessarily. But it's up to us as individuals to really keep our minds open and just to process what goes on around us as well. Now, as the story progresses, Bilam goes with King Balak, and there's a whole back and forth between King Balak and King and Bilam. And finally, he tries to curse the Jewish people, and every time he tries to put a curse on the Jews, a blessing comes out. And this happens four times. Four different blessings come out from the mouth of Bilam onto the Jewish people. And the Talmud relates, very interestingly, that even though out of his mouth came blessings, in his heart was still curses. And three out of the four curses of Bilam eventually did happen to the Jewish people later in time, except for the blessing of Matovu, Ahalecha Yaakov. And the blessing of Matovu, Ahalecha Yaakov, is a blessing which praises the houses of study of the Jewish people, that there will never cease in the Jewish people synagogues and houses of study. And I saw a beautiful explanation that gives us an understanding of why that blessing of Matovu, never actually became into a curse. Now, the reason that Mahatovu never turned into a curse is that it seems that in some communities, they would not recite, or some authorities did not wish to recite the blessing of Ma'atovu, because there's a precept from the book of Samuel that only wickedness emanates from the wicked, that it was not in his capability of Bilam to recite an actual blessing. And we see that the other quote-unquote blessings that he gave eventually turned into curses. And you could look in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Talmud Sanhedrin, for more information on that topic. But the question is, why did Ma'atovu never turn into a curse? And as I mentioned before, some authorities did not want to incorporate this blessing. And Rav Yaakov Yosef Polonia, he explains that the prophets, but if you look at through the different prophets and the writings, you'll see that many of them were very critical of the Jewish people. And they see him even a little bit harsh, a little bit, you know, sharp, telling the Jewish people to repent, to become better, to change their ways, or else different bad things will happen. And the false prophets, they preached everything is good. There's nothing to worry about, and there's no reason to change and to be better. Now, the lesson here is clear. Sometimes no one likes criticism. No one likes to be point out their flaws. That should be pointed out to anybody. But what makes someone a good friend, a good teacher, a good mentor, is that when you hear things, when you have someone who's just a yes man to you, or just tells you, yes, 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 you're perfectly fine, you're great, they don't necessarily have your best interests in mind. Because as a Rebbe once said to me, a good Rebbe, which is a good rabbi, tells you things you don't want to hear. And maybe that's why the difference of Matovu maybe wasn't fully accepted. It had some quote-unquote bad in it, not bad, but maybe harshness in it. That's why it lasted, as opposed to the other blessings, which were totally all telling the Jewish people how good they were. They felt a certain level of comfortability. And it's actually brought down, going on this point a little bit, that one of the reasons after Bilam and Balak, their plans fail to curse the Jewish people, they come up with a plan to just send the daughters of Moab and Midian into the Jewish camp to try to entice the Jewish men to sin with them, thus causing Hashem to become angry with the immorality that would be caused. And they are successful to a certain degree. The story ends with Zimri, one of the leaders of the tribe of Shimon, committing an immoral act with the daughter of Balak Cozbi, and Pinchas, the son of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, the son of the grandson of Aaron HaKohen, kills him, and God's wrath subsides. And the commentaries explain that the reason why the Jews were susceptible at that moment to this enticement from the daughters of Midian and Moab was because they thought, they just heard all the quote-unquote blessings that Bilam had given to the Jewish people, and they felt, oh, we're the best. We're so good about ourselves. They had this sense of haughtiness because the blessings had contained nothing in there that was critical or sharp. And the idea for us is that many times, number one is when we have friends, we should know that a good friend tells us things to criticize us, obviously in a good way, in a healthy way. Can't be too sharp. You have to say things nice. And if someone is doing something wrong, there's a way we should say something for their own sake. We don't want to let them just keep going down this path of evil and bad and let them create a bad habit. That if we're a good friend, we should want people, we should be open to that healthy criticism from our close friends, our friends and people that care about us. We should know that if someone criticizes us and they're truly doing it out of care or concern, we should accept it and realize that we're lucky to have a good friend. And at the same time, us ourselves as friends of others, of individuals and mentors and parents and sisters and friends, we should realize and recognize that when we have friends and individuals we see that are doing things incorrect, we have to figure out ways to constructively help them realize what they're doing, right? If someone's an addict, do we want to just cover for them and let them keep their addiction, right? To make it extreme. No, we want them to get help, right? If somebody has some type of issue, we don't want to just ignore it. The point is there's ways of doing things, obviously. But my point is, on one side, we should be able to accept the criticism and realize that we're lucky to have a good friend. And number two is, when we see our friends do something wrong, we have to figure out a way of reaching them in a good way. Maybe it's writing a letter. It's telling them how much we care about them first. It's figuring out how to get someone else to give the person the help they need, or help them realize that they need some help or that they're doing something wrong. Maybe they don't even realize, and you're pointing it out to them. And obviously there's ways of doing things. With that, that's going to finish for today's Practical Parsha podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to me at Rabbi Shlomo Cohen with a K at gmail.com. Everyone, have a great day.